Hello and welcome back to the Film Bunker podcast. My name's Nick. Today we're here to talk about films and TV and all that good stuff, as you know, and I am here with...
My name's Ben, and I'm really annoyed because this is our literal third take after some audio issues, and I had a great fish anecdote from the previous take that I don't really feel comfortable talking about again because the comedic timing's ruined, and it was fucking good, and just, yeah, let's move on. This sucks.
It was good.
It was I good. Agree with thank you.
I appreciate your honesty.
We could go. Well. We could go back to it if we want, but I feel like no one's interested in that because this is indulging myself.
Yeah, not really. To yeah, be fair, honest. Yeah, not fair. Anymore.
Well, no one will know. It's fucking terrible. Anyway.
Hi, I'm Simon. I am absolutely a real human being and not an AI.
I disagree.
So, yep,
but
that's me.
We'll get into that later. That's a theory.
My name's Matt. I'm going to have no shame, so I will repeat my intro. If I was a Jonas Brother, I'd be Jonah. If I was a Spice Girl, I'd be Old. And if I was a Beetle, I'd be Rhinoceros.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, so
the puns.
My intro.
I was trying to think of a fish pun. Like we're all out of tuna, but...
My intro was that I had some fish this week and it tasted like chicken, and it was a really just concerning experience. And it was just so bizarre. Ate the whole fish. It was good fish.
And I sympathize because I had pork that tastes like fish.
Same
this
thing,
week.
Right?
Yeah, which
this
was
all
really weird.
This was all in the first intro that we can't bloody use because
it's on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, because the sound was crap. Although, has anyone else had like experiences where they've tried to eat something but it tasted like something else and it was just kind of it was a weird dissonance from it?
I can't share that on the air.
Leave your answers in the comments.
or not. Now, I remember in high school we were on some road trip or something and we stopped at a station to get some food and I got a sausage roll, like a beef one, and for some fucking reason I decided to put tartar sauce on it. Made it taste like fish.
I was about to say, that's a very bad decision.
It was not good, because no. It was a weird fishy tasting sausage roll.
I had a dream.
Jesus. Yes, Martin Luther King.
Where my grandmother took me and my brothers to the beach, and one of her friends had started suffering from dementia and was walking around topless. so she walked through the middle of our group. She's like, coming through, ladies. And it was disturbing. But then I woke up and I could smell garlic bread. And for years I associated garlic bread with the breasts of an elderly woman.
Did you continue to eat garlic bread?
Not for a while.
Okay, right.
But now I can eat garlic.
Because that's really what...
And tell this story because I do not discriminate against breasts.
What was the turning point that you could go back to eating garlic bread?
Adolescence.
Fair. All right, cool. Yeah.
So I've been trying real hard to get a segue into talking about the point
of
this podcast.
You're not getting any, sorry. You're really
there has not been one at all.
You're not getting any.
So I just have to go straight into it. What's everyone watched this week?
I'll refresh on that browser.
I mean, I watched Spider-Man last night. Sorry. Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah. But we did talk a lot about Marvel last week. So it depends.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, we could just not talk about it. It was an all right movie. It was pretty. It was a solid 6 out of 10.
How do you rank Tom Holland's performance as Peter Parker? Have you seen the other Spider-Man?
I have. Yeah. I really like Tom Holland. I am jealous of his physique. I will say that straight up because there's various points where he's shirtless in it. And I just I wish I had that body at 19 or whenever he was cast. Because I think he's a dancer by trade, initially. Or at least I know, because I get bored at work, and I Google movie stars, and he was in Billy Elliot.
Tom Holland shirtless. I've only got 10 minutes for this smoke. I'm going to use it.
Oh, the accuracy in that's way too high. But no, he was in his starring... I guess his breakout role was he was in Billy Elliot. I don't know if it was Broadway. I'm going to guess
it was a stage play, at least.
It was a stage play, but it was a fairly high up... production. I'm gonna say somewhere in England. I don't know where.
Maybe the West End. I'm not sure.
Probably,
he is English, so
yeah, he is English. And his accent is like his American New Yorker accent is fantastic. Mm. It does not falter at all.
I've been impressed by how each of the actors who takes the mantle of that role has put their own spin on it to some degree.
Yeah.
Tom Holland plays him very young and naive, which I really like.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield, I think, is underrated because he really did put a nice little spunky spin on the Spider-Man, the New York accent, and gave him a lot of attitude. Tobey Maguire.
Let's just not talk about
it. He was Tobey Maguire.
I used him as a euphemism.
he should not have been Spider-Man.
I do love to go back and re-watch the scene from Spider-Man 3 where he is in the jazz club.
Yeah.
Because it's depressingly awful. <It's> like, he moves in a non... Sorry, I'm knocking the table. He moves in a non-human way. And he says stuff like... He calls a woman hot legs. And it's very uncomfortable.
It is the most cringy fucking
scene. What year was that movie again?
That would have
2007.
2007? That doesn't translate well. I think Tom Holland's probably my favourite Spider-Man. Mm. I just gravitate more towards that naivety... Mm. And yeah, the fact that he's like 14 or 15 or whatever. 15, thanks. He reminds me of a lot of the old... He had to clarify.
What I'm here for.
He had to clarify. This is his realm.
He's Ben does.
And I've not said anything.
Tom Holland's physique, not...
I'm getting to the damn performances. But no, he performs it incredibly well. The whole reason I wanted to watch it was because of how he acted in Infinity War. And I was like, okay, I want to go back and watch.
With that brief time, he really did shine in that.
He did. He did. And even in Civil War, he was a big highlight in Civil War, for me at least.
Never saw Civil War, but people really like to talk about that fight scene between him and Black Panther.
Because it is one of the few good parts of that movie for me.
Yeah, there was a lot of fighting in Civil War, and I can't really remember that much else about that movie. Me neither.
I remember
being perfectly honest.
I remember the big airport fight.
Yep.
That's the big one. And yeah, other than that, there's not a whole lot.
It's got like one of the strongest villains in the Marvel Universe in it.
Homecoming, you mean, not Civil War?
No, Civil War.
Ultron, right? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't remember Civil War.
Yeah.
Who was the villain in Civil War?
Baron Zemo. So
that's right.
He's not like superpowered or anything. The whole thing is in Civil War, and he kind of just tricks them into breaking up in the end.
Yeah.
And just the way he does it is brilliant.
Homewrecker.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Homecoming. different movies. Homecoming. Homewrecker's the next one.
Yeah. Vulture in Homecoming is really up there. One of the best Marvel villains. He was brilliant.
Michael Keaton. His acting was just phenomenal.
It was
like it was. Yeah. Him and Tom Holland were the standouts, as they should be, because they were the main roles in that movie. I will say, I'll say a few things, sorry. But firstly, as compared to a lot of the other Marvel movies, it was very kind of middle row for me.
Mm.
It was very, I don't know if that was just my expectations was quite high because what I'd seen previously in the other movies of Spider-Man. But I thought the first act was very strong and the third act was very strong, but it dipped a fair bit for me halfway through. And I think I said something afterwards, like they could have cut half an hour out of that movie and probably would have been a bit more impactful. It felt like there was a lot of just kind of dead weight with attempted character building and things like that.
That's also a nickname I have, Tobey Maguire.
That's just mean.
The middle of that movie is trying to really, you know, put Tony and Peter together and have that whole father figure. And that's the part of the movie I like the least. I think it's a great movie, but that's the part of the movie I dislike the most.
You think that was important leading into Infinity War?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's extremely important leading into Infinity War. And I come to like it more now after what happened in Infinity War. Because watching it first, like Spider-Man's my favorite superhero. And having him have the father figure be Tony Stark just felt a bit off to me. Because even though they don't reference Uncle Ben at any point, which I kind of do, I do like, they don't, because they didn't retread the whole origin story. They kind of just, went, it happened and whatever, which is good. But yeah, having Tony take that role just felt odd.
Mm.
Him in the climax, like close to the climax of the movie where he has that scene where he pulls like the building off of himself.
Yeah.
He recalls like what Tony says to him, and to me that feels a little bit off. That's my one gripe with the movie, because you know it's always about Uncle Ben, and it would have been nice to have a little callback. But
It is. Yeah, I'll agree that's a bit weird. I actually liked that dynamic. Mm. I mean, I don't have a bigger connection with the comics or anything like that. So for me, Uncle Ben was kind of like, eh, whatever. But I just enjoyed Tony Stark taking on that role because it just seemed something very different for him. Mm. Honestly, the more recent movies with Iron Man in them have kind of just reinvigorated the character for me. Like, he's become a lot more interesting than he did in his solo movies, which I really enjoyed.
The sarcasm can sort of... it risks falling into one note.
It runs dry pretty quickly. And then you get to a point where it's like, do you have any fucking sympathy or... Yeah. You know, so, empathy for anything?
I don't buy Robert Downey Jr. as a responsible adult. But I guess he's an actor, so maybe he's up for the challenge.
I mean, I think he enjoyed it. He seemed like he was enjoying it. I don't know.
I think you get that vibe from the cast in all the Marvel films, to be honest, is that they have a good time making those movies.
Yeah.
As opposed to Daniel Craig hating... Life in general. James Bond film.
Being manically depressed. And
action movies, big blockbusters like that. Yeah. They're huge physical strains, I imagine. I mean, I've only been in a few myself.
I haven't even hit that point yet. I can't do character dramas. Like, they tell me to throw a plate at the wall and just, it doesn't break.
I might want to eat off that right now. I cannot relate to this character.
Can I have a paper plate instead so I can rip it? Like,
don't want to make mess for the crew to have to clean up.
Well, yeah, no, because it takes 20 takes apparently. It's like, what about all the plates? All the wasted plates. And there's a budget, so you can't have shitty plates. Yeah, it's a whole bloody thing. But back to Marvel. I forget one thing I was going to say. So I'll say... one last thing in the fact that even though I'm not the biggest person when it comes to Marvel, although I've watched a lot more this year purely because of the lead up to Infinity War and everything else like that. But I feel like I'm finally understanding the appeal of why everyone likes these movies. Mm-hmm. And it's purely the fact, it's fucking obvious, but I'm an idiot for not seeing it. It's just purely the fact that there's been so many movies and so many stories in this universe that it's really satisfying to see not even just references, but seeing events in other movies impacting the following movies or vice versa. And just seeing that whole world be connected and people making those connections is a really satisfying thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the way that Marvel's able to just kind of...
it's phenomenal.
They've sneakily been able to turn film into a serial medium, which no one's really done before in that bigger way.
This is probably the biggest scale.
Yeah.
Not that scope, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of films and length of time and everything like that, yeah.
People tolerated James Bond films to keep coming out, but still they had to reboot the entire franchise each time they had a new actor.
But
Marvel's able to keep that going for over 10 years. That's insane.
But imagine if James Bond went serial. I feel like it wouldn't...
oh, it would.
It wouldn't work as well.
Well, the Craig films were serial.
The
first...
air quotes.
Well, yeah, the closest that Bond has been serial. And that's why Quantum of Solace fucking sucks.
Oh, it's horrible, But I'd say, and this is no offense to Daniel Craig, I think he's a very good James Bond, but they're probably arguably the weaker... Bond movies, if you compare.
Oh, Skyfall is like a massive standout. It's brilliant,
but everything else
is not that great.
I liked Casino Royale.
Me too.
It's like a big, especially as an aesthetic shock. It was a real kick in the teeth. Like, oh man, this is quite vibrant and energetic and darker. I think Craig is probably the best actor to have taken the role of Bond.
Yeah.
Don't know if he's the best Bond. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, absolutely. Who do you think would be the next Bond after him? Because I don't think he's got to be long left.
I've always wanted it to be Idris Elba.
Oh, man, I was going to say the same.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, no, that's fair. I can see that easily.
He's a very classy man. He can appear on my gin advertisement. Let's Tanqueray.
Do you think Bond needs some class these days compared to what Craig's kind of done?
He took it away.
He does what I mean. I think me personally, they've got to kind of put it back into it because without that, he's a massive asshole.
You've got to set yourself apart from, I guess, the previous person who did it. So I guess, Craig's decision is one that I actually find quite interesting, but I wouldn't want to see every actor from now on just do that same thing.
Like, it was interesting in Casino Royale and even a bit in Skyfall. We're not going to Solace, we're not talking about.
Or Spectre.
Spectre was, like, passable.
You know, I saw Spectre, and I don't remember anything except vague, like almost dreamlike images of him walking through that very sterile sort of place where he met
Her.
Like,
yeah.
Man.
The only thing I remember from it was, I think it was the intro scene where it was the motorbike chase on the rooftops.
Something like that.
That sounds like it comes from a Bond film.
Yeah, it just,
I don't remember.
Was it Mexico?
I don't know. Was it some sort of celebration of death.
That bit I liked. It was the Day of the Dead in Mexico.
Day of the Dead, that's right.
The whole movie is very...
I was going to say Saudi Arabia. I'm like, that's way off.
He's probably been there.
That's the next movie.
The whole movie is very just Bond tropes the whole way through, really. Mm. I mean, all Bond movies just repeat themselves to an extent, but that one was even more so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs a little bit of life brought back into it. Maybe it's the fact that Skyfall set the bar very, very high.
Yeah.
Because that was an excellent Bond movie.
Yeah.
And an excellent movie in its own right.
Is that the one where Judi Dench dies?
Yes.
Thanks for that. Yeah. it is. It's the big... It's a lot of callbacks to all the older movies. But it's, again, I guess, looping back to the MCU, it's just really satisfying to make those connections.
Mm.
And...
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, these Marvel movies, they've been around for 10 years, and so... It gets to the point where the cast... You can't even discern the actors from their roles at this point. Like Tony Stark and Robbie Downey Jr. are essentially the same person.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is Thor, etc. It gets to a point where they almost become like they're your friends and you're going to see what your friends are, quote-unquote, up to
in
the movies. And... Yeah, I just found that really interesting.
And that's an excellent point because that's what they've, studies have shown. I say that in quotations because I don't know which studies. That when you watch television year upon year, those characters, you start to emotionally invest in them as if they were your friends. And that's something that you don't get in film ever.
Yeah, true. And well, because you don't, I guess you don't see them as often.
Exactly.
Compared to a sitcom where it would be weekly or even nightly.
Yeah.
Catching up with Seinfeld or Friends or Malcolm in the Middle or anything like that.
Yeah, and the fact that Marvel's been able to land, at least two solid Marvel movies every year is insane.
Yeah, and they're on to three now.
True.
This year they've is going to be three. Yeah. Black Panther, Infinity War, and Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah.
So, and then next year I think it's three as well. Captain Marvel, Infinity War Part 2, and then I think
it's Captain Marvel next year.
Yeah, it's before Infinity War.
I thought it was later this year.
No. Ant-Man and Wasp this year. Captain Marvel start of the year, then Infinity War, and then I think it's maybe Homecoming 2.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. I will say I'm more interested in watching Captain Marvel now, purely because I found out that Brie Larson is playing Captain Marvel, and she's just a phenomenal actress. That probably doesn't get as much credit as she should.
Mm. I haven't seen her in too much else, but I think she looks good. I think I have, I just can't remember.
She was in a movie, the one I remember from was, I think it was just called Room. It was a couple of years ago. And she was excellent in that. I can't say much about... I think she's had some dud movies. I think she was in Kong Island or whatever the fuck that was.
I've heard her name and I've specifically avoided, not her, but the films that I've seen her in.
Yeah, I don't think she picks the best ones.
She looks great in the role.
Yeah.
She's got
she does. Head. Can you elaborate on that?
She's got... No.
she's got blonde hair.
She has eyes and nose.
She looks quite powerful. I think she's quite powerful.
Okay,
she has a powerful head.
She's got a square kind of, not masculine jawline or anything like that. But
I think I know what you're getting at.
Yeah,
she's got very...
She looks like she could take a punch. I'm not advocating punching Brie Larson.
I'm just saying. She has very prominent cheekbones, I think, from memory I've seen. Which is probably what you're slightly getting at as well. I think that's what you're getting at.
Talking about future Disney movies, I saw the...
that's a segue. Yeah. Fucking hell, okay.
Good job, Nick.
That was... No, not good job. That was a shit segue.
You need a segue out of Marvel.
No.
Last week was all Marvel.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm done with Marvel. But
you can't just go, speaking of Disney, because Disney fucking owns everything.
That's true. Well, that's why I'm talking. Anyway, I saw the release schedule for the next, up until, I think it was 2020. And there's one movie that stuck out for me. It's got all the Marvel movies on it. It's got Star Wars, like Solo and all that on it.
And you're keen for Incredibles 2?
No.
No.
No, I am not. I do not like Incredibles. I am actually really interested in Artemis Fowl.
What the fuck is that?
Artemis Fowl's a young adult book that I read when I was younger. Okay. Have you ever read it?
I have no idea what you're talking about. No.
I know the name Artemis from pop culture and other things.
So it's, I think, been in production hell for a very long time. Because the book came out a long time ago now.
Yeah.
I read it when I was a lot younger. And I haven't heard anything about it. Mm-hmm. I saw that Disney production schedule they put out where it's like a timeline each day. And there was just the logo for that there. And I was like, shit, they're actually finally making a movie out of this.
But they haven't said anything about it.
No, officially. I haven't heard anything else about it. Except that it's coming out. So I was just really interested.
I find it really weird that Disney does that. I don't know why.
I feel like it
gets rid of the surprise of it all.
Oh no, I don't mind that.
I mean the timeline in general, not Artemis Fowl, whatever it is.
We get emails with schedules up to 2025.
Well, that's for great. The website. That's great, like, for you. But for the blowjo like me, who just wants to hear when a fucking new movie comes out and says, I'll go see that, and then never sees it.
Did you say blowjo?
Yes, I did. Boy.
Yeah, I know. I realised, but it just kept it going. So thanks for...
I caught it.
Thanks for pointing out my
phone. Caught it like Brie Larson.
Gonna punch that bitch in the face. I am. Violence against Brie Larson.
Speaking of Disney, let's get a pizza. They own everything. We're gonna have this Disney beer. And
is Artemis Fowl about Disney pizza?
No, it is about a tech, like a really smart teenager and fairies that live underground. So it's Ready Player One. No, like actual fairies that live underground.
I'm already not interested.
Yeah, it's a good young adult
boy. Yeah.
He's just like, you know, the rich, smart guy kind of thing. Yeah, and he cons the fairies or something.
Was it one of those?
It's been a long time.
Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm put off this completely.
You've got to be careful when you're conning fairies.
No, fairies are fine. Pixies, they'll mess you up.
I think it's fairies. I don't think it's pixies. I don't remember.
I was joking. They're basically the same fucking thing.
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read the book.
Is Tinkerbell a fairy or a pixie?
Tinkerbell's a fairy,
she's
right?
Yeah, I do believe in fairies. I do. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Because she looks like what I believe a
pixie would look like. Yeah, exactly.
Well, she acts like a pixie because pixies are very, they're all about trickery and stuff like that.
And why would a fairy need to reassure itself?
Yeah, I guess if you're a fairy, it's like you've made it in the small fairy world.
In Neverland.
In Neverland.
Have we just cracked open that Tinkerbell is not a fairy?
I think so, because I think if she said... A pixie would say, I do believe in fairies, because a pixie is not a fairy.
Okay,
doesn't have to identify.
Tinkerbell doesn't actually... I know too much about this. Tinkerbell doesn't say, I do believe in fairies. Everyone else in Neverland does, because the fairies are about to die. Because they...
Gotcha, Ben.
I know. I don't like Peter Pan in the slightest.
All right.
But Tinkerbell's great. But yeah, they only live because... people believe in them, so if people stop believing them, they all die. Tinkerbell doesn't say anything.
True,
she can't talk.
True. Okay. You don't like Peter Pan?
No.
All right. Do you like Hook?
I meant Peter Pan as the movie, but also...
Yeah, no, that's
Peter
what
Pan,
I mean.
The characters are prick.
Right.
Hook's fine. I don't really have much to say about him, to be honest.
No, I mean the movie Hook.
Film. Oh, God, we're way fucking off. No, I haven't seen it. And
you haven't seen Hook?
I don't particularly want to.
Really?
Not really.
Simon, have you seen
Is this the new one?
Do you like Hook?
Wait.
The Robin
new
Williams
one. Yeah, of course.
No, that's Pan.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but it was entertaining and there were colours in it.
So. When you die with the mohawk.
When you say kid, how old are we talking?
Like, I don't know when it came out, but it wouldn't have, like, I don't know, I would have been 9 or 10.
Okay, so the colours were very important.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fair. Yeah. That's very fair. That's what I was trying to establish.
I remember that part of it where he's like, don't stop me, Smee. Don't stop me. Don't stop me. Don't stop me, Smee. Stop me. Stop me.
What voice was that?
I don't know what the character sounds like. I wonder which actors are in it.
Me neither, yeah.
We got Robin Williams, and then Williams. I can't remember anyone else. So the, like the, what are the, what are the boys called?
I have no idea.
The Lost Boys. They're just a bunch of randoms.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can't remember who played. I can't even remember if Hook's in it. Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, was it? Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, actually.
It was a good performance.
Dustin, I mean, it's so memorable, isn't it? And we're back after a few little technical difficulties. We just learned that beer does not go well with a keyboard.
See, I thought it did.
It does.
I really thought it did. Yeah. What if we try a lager?
It's a nice pale ale.
Yeah, let's go a nice pale ale. Or like a cider. I think there's plenty more places we can go with this experiment.
Yeah. We're going to experiment the effect of different beers on keyboards.
On a film podcast.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Science. I don't have any money.
I'm not saying I do, but it'd be... I just think it's interesting. That's it. Sorry. Don't pat my head, you prick.
So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to pick up with this week's bunker battle. What we do in the bunker battle is we decide, out of two pieces of media, which one should be preserved forever in the bunker after the world is destroyed, probably by Trump.
Yep.
This week, we're going to decide against two TV shows. And those two TV shows are Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
Thoughts, people?
I can go first if everyone's alright with that.
Go first.
I will go Brooklyn Nine-Nine because I've seen it.
This taking is a running the theme.
Problem. It's not a problem. It's purely me. So I might. Whenever I say I agree with something, usually it means absolutely nothing.
Have you seen any of Parks and Rec?
I've seen a couple episodes. But okay. To be totally honest, it just didn't grab me that.
Did
much.
You watch the first season?
I don't know. It was on TV. I don't know what season it was or what I watched. It had Amy. I was gonna say Amy Schumer. It's not Amy Schumer. It's Amy Poehler. The better Amy.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to go into that? Fuck this bunker battle. I want to hear this shit.
I could do without either.
Okay.
Screw this bunker battle. Amy Schumer versus Amy Poehler.
I think he's just saying that it doesn't like either of them.
No. I'm not a big fan. Yeah, okay. So Amy Schumer's obvious, but why Amy Poehler?
Amy Poehler just annoys me. And it's my problem. It's only my problem.
No, when someone annoys you, it's not really your problem.
I mean, I've got a great record. Brie Larson. Brie Larson's great. Amy Poehler, she's very talented. I respect what she's done.
Mm.
I just find that her style of comedy can be quite obnoxious.
I can see
I
that.
Get that. I feel like she gets overshadowed a lot by Tina Fey because they were the duo,
yeah,
right?
I think
Tina Fey's a lot better.
Yeah,
easily. Yes. When they work together very well. But yeah, by herself, she's a bit. Mm. It's hard to pinpoint. But yeah, the small bits I've seen of Parks and Rec, just yeah, for some reason the comedy didn't grab me that much. I didn't feel inclined to keep watching it. Basically, I can't say why. I don't even know what the show's about.
That's a problem.
Are they like a council or something? Or
yes,
is it like,
yes.
Yeah, it's like a city council
type
thing.
Parks and Rec Department.
Parks and Recreation. Yeah, I got that. Because it's actually called... Anyway, I got that.
Did you?
I got it, man. I guess I didn't care a lot about the characters. I didn't think a lot of them were actually that funny. Mm. Which, in a sitcom like that, is fairly important.
Chris Pratt's pretty great.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
no, I'll agree with that, yeah.
And Ron, I forget the actor's name.
I don't know.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman's brilliant.
Is he the guy with the mustache?
Yes.
Okay.
The manly man.
I've seen him in GIFs and memes, and he's very good. I'm happy with his meme work.
He's the one who says Fremulon at the end of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what? He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so that's another point for Brooklyn Nine-Nine for me. I will say, I'll finish, but I do think Brooklyn Nine-Nine just has a stronger ensemble cast, and not even just Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole cast are phenomenal, and seeing its progression into what it's become has been really great to see. And so I'll say Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Floor is open.
Simon?
I'm going to say resoundingly Parks and Rec.
Oh, really?
I think it is a better show. Especially Adam Scott, Aubrey Plaza, Nick Offerman, I think they gel together as a cast exceptionally. I think it's well written. I think I even prefer it to The Office, which it was kind of a spin-off. Ooh, of.
Yeah, I got that too.
The problem for me is that it started to be a good show very late in its...
Mm.
It maybe season three.
Yeah, because that whole first season is not that great, is it? Mm.
It's objectively bad, I think. But once they brought in Adam Scott and... what's his name? The guy who plays Chris. I don't even...
Chris Pratt.
Rob Lowe.
Oh, Rob Lowe, yes.
You mean Chris Pratt doesn't play Chris? That's terrible.
Yeah. They just sort of hit a rhythm that was actually working for them, which they didn't have before.
Yeah.
I had a good thought.
And it's gone. No, it's gone. So that's minus 1 point for Parks and Rec.
But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think is... It's funny, but it just never really hit me in the same way that Parks and Rec did.
Mm. Yeah, Parks and Rec, with the characters probably draw you in a little bit more than Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You probably, like, for me, I'm probably going to go with Brooklyn Nine-Nine because objectively I just think it's funnier. Like, I do really like Parks and Rec. I like all the characters in it, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine for me overall is just a funnier show.
I will say about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I don't know much about Parks and Rec, obviously, but I feel like it's one of those shows where it doesn't matter what episode you watch if there's one on TV, because it just works by itself.
Yeah.
And that's a very good quality that a lot of the old famous sitcoms had, like Friends and Seinfeld, and they all had their all overarching storylines, but the individual episodes were standing in and of itself.
Jump in at any point.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if Parks and Rec is like that at all. I have no idea.
To an extent, but probably not as much.
Is it a lot more in-jokes?
I'm not too sure.
I wouldn't say that, but it's...
But you know what I'm kind of getting at.
I think it's a pretty episodic show. It's... I don't know. It's more of a seasonal show, I guess.
Right. Yes.
It has, like, seasonal arcs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about what you said, well, I guess what you both said about how the first season's shit and it gets better later on. I have a really low tolerance rate for shows like that. If you're not good at the start. When someone tells me, go watch the show, oh, it gets good at season three, I'm not going to go watch two fucking seasons to get to the good stuff. It should grab you from the start. Technically, in my opinion, the pilot or the first season should be nearly its best because that's what its initial intention was.
Okay. I have a point regarding that. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld. My favorite sitcom ever. I know you love Seinfeld.
Of course.
Seinfeld's first season, which is only 4 episodes, is not good.
Seinfeld is devoid of all my rules. Exceptions. There are flaws in this, absolutely.
I mean, they're not bad episodes, but they're nowhere near as good as the rest of it.
Look, it's an... Yeah, I say that as a blanket thing for a lot of sitcoms. There's differences in it, but... Generally, that's how I feel about most shows. I feel like it's got to grab you from the start to be engaging for me, at least.
Yes, a lot of sitcoms start slow, though.
Yeah.
The
other thing about a sitcom is that you don't have to start at the start.
Yeah.
Which Parks is and Rec, especially, just start on season 3. And you'll have a great time.
I still feel weird knowing that there's 2 seasons not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you've missed something.
Yeah.
It's always how I feel when I meet someone. I'm like, you've gone about 22. I feel like
I need to know what happened 4 years ago specifically.
Take me back to childhood.
So we got 2 for Brooklyn and 1 for Parks and Rec.
Alrighty.
Are you going to tie it or are you going to...
Well, look, I may not be a big fan of Amy Poehler. My preferred Amy is Adams. But...
That took longer to get. To be
Growing up, I was introduced to Lonely Island before they exploded into the NBC Universal universe with their YouTube stuff and that sort of thing. You know, who invited Steve? Steve's a cunt.
Great. That's one of the songs.
It's. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, you know, we've already got an explicit rating. So it doesn't matter. But
do we?
It's,
we do now.
Cunts.
I have admired what Andy Samberg has done. He gets to make funny little songs with his friends. He hasn't left them behind. and he gets to basically get whatever celebrity he wants in and they'll go along with the joke. I find a lot of their modern stuff quite...
It doesn't hit as well.
It doesn't hit as well. It's not as specifically funny. And Hot Rod is one of my most detested movies of all time.
Oh, I get that.
Hot Rod, yeah, no, it's me neither.
It's one of those films that a lot of people seem to love. Oh, I'm Rod and I like to party and it drives me nuts.
Hmm.
And I developed a hatred for Andy Samberg. With that said, my favorite actor of all time is Andre Brower. So Andy Samberg, one of my most detested individuals, got my favorite actor and gave him work. And it confused me emotionally.
It was the chicken and the fish again.
It's the chicken and the fish. It's Brie Larson's lovable face. It's a lot of different things coming together. And I do have to go with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Ooh.
Because from what I've seen of it, it isn't the sort of nuanced comedy of Parks and Rec. I think that depends a lot more on the different personality, like the established, almost the character traits they build up and that sort of thing. Whereas the characters in Brooklyn Nine-Nine kind of just represent these more broader tropes. Mm. But it is very sharply written. It has a lot of, you know, the cast's chemistry is very good and the repartee is very witty. And Andy Samberg is more than tolerable in it. He's good in the role. So yeah, I have to go with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's interesting. It's interesting that at least when you were talking about it, that we're judging a lot of Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine on the two leads. So Andy Samberg versus Amy Poehler almost.
Mm.
Which is just interesting.
I do find it. I think that is somewhat appropriate because even though they are ensemble casts, especially Brooklyn Nine-Nine seems to be based around the idea that Andy Samberg's in a sitcom.
Yeah, I think a lot of them seem like just caricatures of themselves.
Mm,
especially Terry Crews. And I forget her name, but whoever plays Chelsea.
Chelsea Parade.
Yeah. It's just they're playing themselves.
Oh, Chelsea Parade is 100% playing
themselves. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But then when you think more into it, so is Andy Samberg, so is Terry Crews and all that, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It's part of the appeal.
Quite refined. And Andre Brower as Ray Holt.
He is phenomenal. He is
straight-faced.
He's got a nice square face.
He's got a nice round face. I want to kind of put it under my arms and go for a walk.
He was like the sleeper hit in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, he's the
best part.
Yeah, but no one expected it.
Yeah, no.
Well, he's such a good actor. He's a two-time Emmy winner. Yeah, miniseries called Thief.
Mm.
Where he plays sort of a father that deals with being a criminal and having a daughter at the same time. He got nominated for Men of a Certain Age, which was the Ray Romano vehicle, which is actually quite a underrated show. It's tiring in sort of like, it's very slice of life. It's not laugh a minute, but it's got quite a good emotional context. I specifically like an arc where his character deals with... he basically starts selling cars for cheaper than as a car salesman he needs to, and it affects his commission.
He did a lot of drama stuff, I know. He did before Brooklyn.
He did Homicide: Life on the Street, which is one of my favorite drama TV series of all time, where he played Frank Pemberton, who's based on a real detective, and his performance is quite
dynamic. Show is brilliant. Yeah,
Homicide is absolutely amazing, and I recommend it to anyone because it is an NBC drama, influenced a lot of HBO drama.
Right.
Specifically, Tom Fontana was writing on the show, decided to go then write Oz because he was sick of all the sort of network notes he was getting.
Mm.
And I feel that Andre Brower is perhaps overlooked in terms
of absolutely. What he's contributed. Definitely agree with that, for sure. Even in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
To an extent, because he's hanging out with the likes of Terry Crews and Andy Samberg and all these well-known comedic actors and performers.
Powerhouse personalities.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tough room to be in.
Yeah.
Especially for a dramatic actor. Yes.
And he himself, I think, would admit, from what I've seen in interviews, that he's not funny. Like, he doesn't go around making jokes. He's likable and effable and
I'm pretty sure he has said that specifically.
Yeah,
absolutely. I will ask one thing. It does, in terms of the writing, does Andy Samberg write a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and does Amy Poehler write a lot of Parks and Rec?
I don't think Andy Samberg has much to do with.
Do they have a lot of pull behind the scenes? I know they're probably producers, obviously.
I'd be surprised if they're not at this point.
I think Andy Samberg was from the start. I'm not sure about Amy Poehler, but. I just find it interesting that it's essentially Andy Samberg versus Amy Poehler, and comedy is subjective, obviously. But it's interesting to compare the two.
I'd like to throw a little curveball.
Yeah, shit. Scrubs will win.
No, not Scrubs. Not Scrubs. Scrubs can be its own thing.
Scrubs is.
I'm gonna throw in The Good Place, because The Good Place is fucking brilliant. And I tell you the truth, if I have to decide between the three, I'm going with The Good Place.
Okay, so we're adding that to the battle.
Yeah, I'm going to make it three-way. I'm going to make it a three-way.
Can I add my own?
Good Place is the Ted Danson one.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Look, I can't.
I love Ted Danson in every modern comedy that he's been in.
Yes.
Bored to Death.
Yeah.
I loved it.
He I don't know how, like, for some reason, just, like, I'm not a big Cheers fan.
No,
but everything that he's done nowadays has been brilliant.
Cheers was very much a product of its time, though, it does not age. It definitely doesn't age well.
Neither does Kelsey Grammer.
No, but even it's been superseded by Frasier, all the other big sitcoms. I can't add much to The Good Place. Again, haven't seen it. What a fucking shocker! This is what happens when you get someone who doesn't watch films or TV on a podcast about films or TV.
You haven't watched it?
I haven't, no. Okay. Can I be honest? Totally thought it was a drama. No. Is it a comedy?
Yes.
Ah.
When you finally fix your limited Netflix subscription that you forgot to renew.
Yeah, no.
You should watch it.
I got an email this week saying, oh, your Netflix has been cancelled. I was like, oh yeah, I needed to pay that. Whoops.
You should definitely watch
it. So is the whole thing on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How many seasons?
I think it's... Two now?
Cool.
Two now.
Yeah. Awesome. How many episodes?
I think it's
10-ish or something.
About that, yeah. It's pretty short. They're little short episodes. The writing in it is brilliant.
Is it laugh track comedy or is it? Okay, cool. Good.
Do like Kirsten Bell. I feel like I should say some positive things about actresses that are working today.
But not Brie Larson.
She's great. I love her.
No, she is.
Just Amy Poehler. but not
Amy Schumer.
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Yeah, that's a whole other...
That's another kettle of fish. More...
that tastes like...
I respect what she's done for herself, but not what she's done for comedy.
I don't respect what she's done for herself.
Well, she's
and I hate her for what she's done for comedy, but that's... Yeah,
fair enough. Okay, yeah. I agree.
that was an easy argument. All right.
My biases towards Andre... I can't go against him.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But, and I'm going to try and defend it, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of those last network television NBC style comedies. You know, 22 episodes a season, probably, roughly. That's a lot of writing, and it's hard to make something that goes to everyone's palate that doesn't have that widespread acclaim and does connect with sort of the younger audiences. And is reliable and is strong in its casting and that sort of stuff. So I'm going to use that as sort of like a bit of a testament to its
You never hear
it's grr.
It's grr. It's grr.
You never hear anyone say something bad about
it. No, I don't think it's possible to. I mean, I can't even hate it.
Unless you don't watch it.
Yeah.
Really.
But I'm going to have to really invest in The Good Place, I think.
Are you so you're going to change to The Good Place?
No. Okay. I can't.
So that's a win for Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I will say
for the record, I'm going to stick with Parks and Rec.
You're going to stick with Parks and Rec? Okay.
It bought my loyalty over seasons of just really good comedy.
Mm.
And that's like fair. The relationship between Leslie Knope and Adam Scott's character Ben was amazingly developed over the seasons. This is the same with Chris Pratt and Aubrey Plaza's characters. That's something you don't see done well in a lot of comedies.
Yeah.
And it was just really fucking funny
for
its entire run. So
would I be right saying that Parks and Rec is that type of comedy that
some people get it and it's great, but then there's another subset of people that just like, I don't get it at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have the universal.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference.
Appeal.
Yeah. I don't know why, and I don't know what that is specifically. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad show, but I feel like it is one of those shows where people are just put off by it for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe they can't read the chemistry.
Because it's also the mockumentary style.
Probably that maybe. As well, even.
So, yeah. Mockumentary styles, like, I know, like, my parents do not like anything that's mockumentary. Don't know why. They just don't.
See, I usually do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for some reason, couldn't get it for some reason.
Yeah.
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 It's comedy, it's subjective. Yeah. It's one of the most subjective things. If anything, this is probably the first bunker battle that divided the...
Because threw that curveball in because it's I really like The Good Place. And I have to change to that.
You just wanted to
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is still winning because we've got 2-1-1. Yeah. One,
one. You just wanted to talk about The Good Place.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
It's a brilliant show. It shares a universe with Parks and Rec. There's a small nod to a perfume that's advertised in a magazine they're reading.
Right.
That's in Parks and Rec.
Weird.
And also, like, it's got a few of the same creators and stuff like that. So it's all in the same vein.
So really, you just voted for Parks and Rec again?
No, I voted for The Good Place. Because I like...
No, it's
Kristen Parks Bell, and yeah? Yeah. Yeah, because...
And she's, and she's always great, yeah.
Kristen Bell.
It is Kristen. Because of the joke... Kristen Bell.
Is this another Mark Ruffalo situation?
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
It is Kristen. Yeah. Okay, never mind then.
Anyway, so it's come down to Brooklyn Nine-Nine going in the bunker.
So we currently have The Princess Bride and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Two classic comedies. Yeah. Yeah.
That is not bad. I would not would not mind being in an apocalypse and you just have Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Princess Bride. That's a good mix.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
I'd feel a little bit shortchanged because it's just two films. It's just me.
Well, I feel like I should get Brie Larson in at some point, but... The movie sucks.
not Room. Room's all right.
Room's,
it's not a movie you would watch every day.
No.
It's a bit much.
But Captain Marvel's got to come out.
It's got to be good, which is the main thing.
I'm sure it will be.
I mean, yeah, I don't really know, to be totally honest. But, yeah, there you go. We'll find out in 2019.
Yes, we shall.
Cool.
And we're going to wrap it up here. So everybody, like, subscribe, do all those good things. I don't know what you do on iTunes. Just do it to support.
Subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment.
Don't you just listen to it and then like, oh yeah, that was a thing.
Textualize. Yeah, you just say out loud, that was a thing.
Am I the only one who does that when I...
Just say to yourself, I'm going to listen to this again and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. I love you, Brie.